The First Time podcast is coming soon. But before we get underway, we thought we should really introduce ourselves. This mini episode is all about the author, Kate Mildenhall. Okay, Kate Mildenhall, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm Kate Mildenhall. I'm a writer and a teacher. My first book, Skylarking, was published in 2016 with Black Ink in Australia and with Legend Press in the UK. I'm currently working on my second novel.
So, Kate, tell us a little bit about how Skylarking came about.
How did Skylarking come about? You see, this is the thing, and you will get used to this, that when your book's been around for a while and you've told the story for a while, you feel like everyone in the world knows already how your story came about. But for those of you darling listeners who don't know, I had gone back to study at RMIT University, where I met the lovely Catherine, amongst other wonderful people. And
We were not camping.
I was camping with my family and my best friend and her family. And we were camped next to a grave. And I was a little bit interested, although let's be honest, I was more interested in making sure the kids had enough clothes on so they didn't freeze, and in the afternoon, G&T. But I was interested enough to take a couple of pictures of this grave that belonged to a young woman who had lived on that part of the coast in the lighthouse nearby during the 1880s. And I found that there was a story of friendship and intrigue and gunshots. And I became a little bit obsessed with that. But, and here's the thing, and the secret to writing a novel, or a first novel, I believe, I did not know I was writing a novel. I thought I was writing a little short story for class, for an assignment. And as is the way of the wonderful fiction classes here at RMIT, you get a little bit of feedback and you get a few people saying, oh, I like that. What's going to happen next? And so you write on. And then I had one of those writerly woo-woo moments when Kate, the protagonist of the story, started, you know, kind of in my ear. And so I kept writing and I kept writing and I did the wonderful NaNoWriMo and decided that if I could write 30,000 words in a month, I could buy myself a new laptop because everyone at RMIT has fancy laptops and I did not have one. And so I did it. And suddenly I had kind of 40, 50,000 words and I was like, oh shit, this is a novel.
Which as an outsider watching seemed effortless to you, the writing of Skylarking.
Well, you know, now compared to what it's like trying to extract the words of the second novel from me, it was effortless because I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just writing on. I knew I had to get the words on the page. Everyone here had told us, you got to put your bum in the seat and get the words on the page. So that's what I did. And I was writing towards this kind of mythical idea of maybe eventually I'll have something. And I was researching and I was reading lots and I was totally immersed in the story. I wasn't even thinking about the fact that one day I might be able to publish it.
And then.
So a little bit of backstory and an important note to listeners who might be coy about entering things. I entered a short story in the Monash undergraduate short story competition, which goes along with EWF. And I was shortlisted in that. And the really important life-changing thing about that was that one of the judges, Aviva Tuffield, contacted me by email and said, you know, I saw your name come up. Do you have a manuscript? And I laughed. I was like, oh my gosh, no, do not have
a
manuscript.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So she sent me an email and I'd applied for a job as well at Stella. So my name had come up twice, I think, in her kind of radar. So she contacted me and said, do you have a manuscript? And I said, no, I don't. And she said, you know, if you've ever got one, you know, get in touch. So, you know, here we are 8 months later. I now have this kind of scrawling mess of a thing. And I was at an event. Another thing which RMIT had taught me to do is to actually go along to things and be involved in the writing world and the writing community, especially here in Melbourne. We've got such amazing things happening all the time. And I was at an event about kind of women in the industry. Aviva was speaking and someone on the panel, Clem Ford, had been on a panel and she was kind of saying, you know, you've just got to put yourself out there, like get over all that self-loathing and the fear and the doubt and just go for it. So feeling all rah, 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 I can do this. After the panel that Aviva was on, I approached her and, you know, then went into total self-deprecating mode and said, you won't know who I am, but you sent me an email once and now I've got this kind of half thing of a manuscript and I'm wondering if I should enter it into this competition that she was kind of involved in. And she scribbled her email address on the back of something and gave it to me, which of course I still have, and said, look, just send it to me. Send me 30,000 words, or the first three chapters. and I nearly died. And I went home that night and I was like, no, I can't do it. This is, you know, what have I done? I've started this train wreck of something and it's going to be disaster and I'm going to have stuffed my one chance. But I sent it to her and she got back to me and said, send me the whole thing. Send me everything you've got. And I said, it's a mess. It's a terrible, terrible mess. I remember putting in the email, my mum hasn't even read it yet. And she said, well, I'll feel very honoured if you send it to me before your mum reads it. Send it to me anyway. And I did. And a little while after that, she offered me a contract. And that's how it came to be.
Wow. Where were you when she, did you, via email?
No, via a phone call. The phone call that I got, we talked on the phone a couple of times, but the phone call, which was the defining moment, which was the, we are going to publish your book. I was just out of the pool after swimming lessons with my small child, with my dad there as well, because he had to help because I had the baby as well. Yeah, so I've got the baby, the small child has just had swimming lessons, the smell of chlorine in my face. I'm like, Dad, I've got to get this. And I burst into tears and I can just remember like Dad's kind of handling the baby chinos and the children and all of the mess and the wet bathers and the craziness. And him looking across at me and obviously seeing as I came in the door, like my face wet with tears and him going, oh my gosh, this is, it's happening. It's happening. And I think potentially a number of our guests will tell us that is kind of the best feeling ever. And it, you get lots of other incredible feelings and lots of terrible ones too, but nothing comes close to that first moment.